Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from. I'm Mr. News, and today we're tackling a story that's truly unsettling, one that really makes you question a lot about our world and specifically our youth. We're talking about the Afghan teenager Mohammed Zafar, charged in Oklahoma for an Election Day attack plot, who's now been sentenced to 15 years. Mrs. News, it's a heavy one, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Mr. News. When you hear teenager and terror plot in the same sentence, it just sends shivers down your spine. And the details of this specific case involving an Election Day attack in Oklahoma, it really hits close to home for a lot of people. It's not just a headline. It's a stark reminder of the vulnerabilities in our communities and, frankly, in our youth.
Exactly. Let's dig into the facts a bit. Mohammed Zafar, an Afghan national who became a U.S. citizen, was just 16 years old when he reportedly hatched this plot. He was aiming to firebomb a synagogue and then target an apartment complex with the stated intent of killing up to 15 people. This wasn't just idle talk. He was actively communicating with individuals he believed were part of a terrorist organization. That's a profound level of intent for someone so young, isn't it?
It's terrifying, honestly. The sheer scale of the intent to take 15 lives and the targeting of a synagogue, that immediately brings up the aspect of hate and radical ideology. And the fact that he was so young, a U.S. citizen, even though he came here as a refugee, it really complicates the narrative. How does a 16-year-old go from fleeing a war-torn country to allegedly plotting a terror attack in his new home?
That's precisely the central question, isn't it? The prosecution highlighted that he was an adherent to a radical Islamic ideology and openly expressed support for ISIS. Now, his defense lawyers during the sentencing argued that he was incredibly vulnerable, susceptible to radicalization, especially given his age, the trauma he experienced fleeing Afghanistan, and what they called online manipulation. They painted a picture of a lonely, isolated kid struggling to find his place.
And that's where it gets so incredibly complex and, dare I say, tragic. We have a young person, a refugee, who we assume comes here seeking safety and a new life. But then, somewhere along the line, he gets entangled in this dark web of extremist ideology. It really highlights the insidious nature of online radicalization, how it preys on isolation, on the search for belonging, even if that belonging is with a terrorist group.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember the timeline here. This was planned for Election Day, November 8th, 2022. The fact that authorities were able to intervene before any actual harm was done is a testament to the vigilance of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies, but it also shows how close these threats can sometimes get to becoming a horrific reality.
Absolutely. It's a testament to the intelligence work, but it also forces us to confront how prevalent these extremist narratives are, especially online, and how easily a young, impressionable mind can fall into their clutches. This isn't just about bad people. It's about a process of radicalization that can ensnare even those we might least expect.
Let's talk about the legal outcome. He pleaded guilty to one count of attempting to provide material support to a terrorist organization. That plea really acknowledges the seriousness of his actions and intentions. And the federal judge handed down a 15-year sentence, followed by 5 years of supervised release. What's your take on that sentence, Mrs. News? It's a long time, especially for someone who was a minor at the time of the offense.
15 years is a significant portion of a young person's life. There's no doubt about it. On one hand, you have to consider the absolute severity of the planned actions, the potential loss of innocent lives, the targeting of specific communities. The justice system has to send a clear message that such plots will not be tolerated. But on the other hand, for someone so young, you can't help but wonder about the potential for rehabilitation, the missed opportunities for intervention before it reached this point. It's a really difficult balance.
And the judge recognized some of those complexities, didn't they? While delivering a hefty sentence, the judge also recommended mental health treatment and substance abuse counseling for Zafar. That suggests an understanding that there are underlying issues here that contributed to his radicalization beyond just a hardened ideological stance. It's not just about punishment, but about trying to address the root causes.
That recommendation for mental health and substance abuse counseling is incredibly important, I think. It acknowledges that radicalization isn't always purely ideological. It often preys on existing vulnerabilities, on a sense of alienation, mental health struggles, or even substance abuse issues that might make someone more susceptible to extreme narratives. It suggests a glimmer of hope for rehabilitation, for understanding that there's more to him than just the perpetrator of a plot.
Absolutely. His defense team really pushed hard on that point, arguing that he was just a child, easily influenced, vulnerable due to his background and new environment. They said he was just mouthing off online, trying to appear tough or belong. But the prosecution countered, arguing that his actions went far beyond just mouthing off. He took concrete steps, researched targets, and intended to cause mass casualties. It's a classic tension between intent and the mitigating circumstances of youth.
And that's the crux of it, isn't it? The line between expressing extreme views and actively planning to carry them out. For a 16-year-old, where does that line blur? Where does bravado end and genuine intent begin? It's a question that courts grapple with constantly, especially with the rise of digital communication making it so easy for young people to fall into these echo chambers of hate.
Indeed. This case isn't just about Zafar. It's about what it tells us about the broader landscape of radicalization, especially among young people. It underscores how critical it is for parents, educators, and community leaders to be aware of the signs of online extremism. We can't just assume that because someone is young, they're immune to these influences.
No, not at all. In fact, young people might be even more susceptible due to their developing identities, their search for meaning and belonging. And with the internet, these radical groups can reach them directly, bypassing traditional gatekeepers. This case should serve as a wake-up call, really, for all of us to engage more with young people, to understand what they're seeing online, and to build resilience against these harmful ideologies.
He also brings up the refugee aspect. Here's someone who fled violence only to potentially perpetrate it in his new home. While it's crucial not to generalize, it does highlight the challenges some refugees face in integrating, the potential for isolation, and how these factors can be exploited by extremist recruiters. It's not a simple single-cause issue.
That's a very good point, Mr. News. The trauma of displacement, the difficulty of adjusting to a new culture, language barriers, these can all create a fertile ground for feelings of alienation. And when you're feeling isolated, you might be more vulnerable to groups that offer a sense of identity, purpose, or community, even if that community is built on extremist principles.
So looking forward, Zafar will spend 15 years in prison. What do you think the goal is here beyond just punishment? Is it rehabilitation, deterrence for others, or a combination?
It has to be a combination. The deterrence factor is undeniable. Anyone considering similar actions needs to see the severe consequences. But for Zafar himself, particularly given his age, the hope has to be that those 15 years, coupled with the recommended counseling, provide an opportunity for genuine de-radicalization and rehabilitation. It's a long shot, perhaps, but we have to believe in the potential for change, especially in someone who started down this path so young.
And the 5 years of supervised release afterward, that's another critical component, ensuring he doesn't revert to those dangerous pathways once he's out. It shows a long-term commitment by the justice system to monitor and support, hopefully, a more constructive path forward.
Yes, it really does. It's not just lock them up and throw away the key. It's an acknowledgement that this is a complex societal problem that requires more than just punitive measures. We need to understand how these young people get radicalized, how we can prevent it, and how we can, perhaps, bring them back from the brink.
This whole case is a chilling reminder that threats can emerge from unexpected places, and that the fight against extremism is not just overseas, but right here in our communities. It requires constant vigilance and a deeper understanding of the factors that lead to radicalization. Thank you, Mrs. News, for shedding light on this incredibly complex and unsettling story.
Thank you, Mr. News. It's a story that definitely leaves you with more questions than answers, but it's crucial we keep asking them and learning from these difficult situations. Our focus must always be on protecting our communities and preventing these tragedies from ever happening.
Yeah, Mr. Mr. News on the TV screen says we're free, but what's it mean? We got dreams, we got streams, but the ballot's stuck in the vending machine.
Red, white, blue, it's a colorful show.
How? We can do anything,
we can do anything,
we can sing,
we can fly, we can touch stars,
build castles in the sky,
but vote,
no, that's a tricky thing,
Mr. News
just pulls the strings. Oh. Hey. 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 sell us freedom in a shiny ad. Buy one, get none, the deal so bad. Swipe your card, play your part.
But the voting booth's locked in the junkyard. Whoa.
Paper trails lost in the wind. Whoa. Truth's a game no one can win. Whoa. They tell us hush, whoa, trust the spin. Whoa. But this ain't the way it's always.
Missing
ring,
the news just clips our wings.